Welcome back for another deep dive. You know, today we are taking a look at some fascinating ideas from a presentation by Dr. Tricia Bertram-Gallant. She's the Director of Academic Integrity at UC San Diego.
Okay.
And she really gets into the impact of generative AI, you know, Gen AI on higher education.
Yeah.
It's a hot topic.
Definitely.
And to be honest, it's one that's causing a lot of anxiety, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so.
But don't worry, this deep dive is going to give you, the listener, a solid understanding of both the challenges and the opportunities this tech presents.
Well, and what's so fascinating about all of this is that Gen AI is already changing things up. And we aren't just talking about students maybe using it to cheat on a quiz.
Right.
These tools can generate research reports, write entire essays. It's really pretty mind-blowing.
Right. And it's not just theoretical either.
Oh, no.
Half of high school students admit to already using Gen AI for assignments.
Wow.
So think about all those students heading to college now. You know, they're wrestling with some pretty serious questions. How to use these tools ethically.
Right.
What it means for their own learning,
mm-hmm.
even if it'll hurt their job prospects later on down the line.
Yeah, those are big questions.
Yeah. So Dr. Gallant argues that just trying to focus on, you know, stopping cheating with these tools is kind of missing the point. We need to rethink teaching, learning, and assessment, like from the ground up.
It's a whole new world.
Yeah. So let's dive into her presentation.
Okay.
She starts by laying out this really interesting concept of a social contract between higher education and society.
Okay.
So basically, universities promise to develop and certify knowledge.
Right.
And in return, society trusts and relies on those certifications.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
Dr. Gallant argues that this contract depends on what she calls a moral obligation supply chain.
Mm.
It's not just a one-way street. Instructors have to design assessments that promote real learning. Students have a responsibility to demonstrate their knowledge honestly.
Yeah.
And institutions need to uphold rigorous standards.
Mm-hmm.
So if any part of that chain breaks down, the whole system starts to crumble.
Wow.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Like if students are just offloading all their work to AI,
right.
Employers might start questioning the value of a degree.
For sure.
And suddenly you've got a real crisis of trust. It's not just about academic integrity. It's about the very foundation of higher education.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And Gen AI makes offloading easier than ever. Now, to be fair, cognitive offloading isn't always a bad thing.
Right.
We all use tools to help us think, right?
We do.
Calculators, spell checkers, even just making a to-do list is a form of offloading.
Uh-huh.
But with Gen AI, it becomes really easy to cross the line.
It does.
It's much easier than ever before.
Absolutely.
Using Google Translate to understand a complex scientific paper in another language is probably fine.
Right.
But using it to write your Spanish homework when you're supposed to be learning Spanish, not so much.
No, not so much.
And that's the challenge I think that instructors are facing now, right?
Anytime.
How do you draw the line?
Exactly.
How do you make sure students are truly engaging with the material and developing the skills they need?
It's a tough one.
Especially when the pressure to succeed is so intense.
Yeah.
Dr. Gallant points out that students are really feeling this tension.
Oh, yeah.
They're worried about their grades, about keeping up in this like hyper-competitive environment.
Absolutely.
So they're turning to Gen AI, even if they have mixed feelings about it.
Yeah, I bet.
Which is why it's so important to talk with students directly about this.
Yes.
Dr. Gallant is a big advocate for open communication.
Okay.
Not just laying down the law.
So, like, what does that look like?
She suggests, for example, surveying students at the beginning of the term to find out how they're already using Gen AI, what their concerns are.
Mm.
I like that approach.
Yeah.
It's about acknowledging the reality of the situation rather than pretending it doesn't exist.
Right.
She also suggests co-creating class value statements with students.
Oh, interesting.
So it's not just the instructor dictating the rules.
Right.
It's a shared understanding of what academic integrity means in the age of Gen AI.
I like that.
And she even suggests going through the syllabus together.
Okay.
Analyzing each assignment.
Uh-huh.
And asking, okay, how could Gen AI be used ethically here? Where does it cross the line?
Yeah, that's being proactive.
It's about being proactive and transparent, I think.
Definitely.
That's such a practical approach, isn't it?
It is.
It's not about demonizing technology.
Right.
It's about figuring out how to use it responsibly.
Exactly.
But of course, you still need some clear boundaries, right?
You do.
So how does Dr. Gallant suggest instructors actually create a Gen AI policy for their classes?
I'd love to know. Okay. Well, she outlines three basic options.
Okay.
So you can try to ban Gen AI altogether, though she does point out that's pretty tough to enforce.
Yeah.
Unless you can really, like, secure your assessments and things like that.
Like playing whack-a-mole, right?
Exactly.
Students will always find ways to use it if they're really determined.
Oh, for sure. Especially now. It's so easy to access.
Right. Then there are conditional use policies,
mm-hmm.
where you allow Gen AI for some tasks, but not others.
Right. And I think that's probably the most common approach right now.
Yeah.
But it can get a little tricky, right? You have to be super clear about the boundaries.
Uh-huh.
And even then, there's always that temptation, right?
Yeah.
Students are going to push the limits.
They are,
that's part of being a student.
Exactly.
And then finally, there's the full use option.
Okay.
Where you basically just embrace Gen AI and figure out how to integrate it into your teaching
right.
in a way that promotes learning.
That feels like the most forward-thinking approach.
It does.
But it also probably requires the biggest shift in mindset, I would think,
yeah.
for instructors.
Absolutely. And Dr. Gallant acknowledges that, you know, there's really no easy answer.
Yeah.
The best policy is going to depend on your teaching context,
right.
your learning objectives,
yeah.
and your comfort level with the technology.
For sure.
But the key is to be intentional,
yeah.
to make a conscious choice about how you're going to approach Gen AI in your classroom.
Be upfront about it.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's interesting. She talks about this tension between promoting what she calls moral self-regulation in students.
Okay.
Basically trusting them to make good choices.
Right.
And the reality that they're facing these incredible pressures to succeed, often in a system that feels kind of rigged against them, you know?
Oh, for sure.
It's tough to tell a student, don't use this tool that can practically guarantee you a good grade.
Yeah.
When they're worried about getting into their dream college or landing a competitive internship.
Right.
It's a real ethical dilemma.
It is.
And honestly, it's one that the whole education system needs to grapple with.
Absolutely. Yeah. We all have to work together on this.
Okay. So if we can't just rely on students to resist the temptation to offload their work to AI, what's the alternative?
Well, Dr. Gallant argues that we need to kind of shift our focus
okay.
from performance to mastery.
So instead of just grading students on their output,
right.
we need to create learning environments that foster deep understanding,
mm-hmm.
critical thinking,
yeah.
genuine skill development.
It's about helping them to fall in love with learning
yeah.
for its own sake, not just for the grade.
I love that idea.
Don't you too?
But practically speaking, what does that look like in a classroom?
Right, right.
She mentions four key strategies for achieving this shift.
Okay.
The first is to reconsider learning outcomes.
Okay.
So are the skills we're teaching still relevant in a world where AI can do so much?
Right.
Are our learning objectives clear and measurable?
And how easy is it for students to just fake achievement?
Right.
That's the other big one.
So instead of just saying students will be able to write a research paper.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to get more specific.
Okay.
What kind of research skills do we want them to develop?
Mm-hmm.
How can we assess those skills in a way that can't be easily replicated by AI?
Exactly. It's about getting really intentional about what we're teaching and why.
And the next strategy is to authenticate assessments.
Okay.
And this is where it gets really interesting.
All right. I'm ready.
Dr. Gallant suggests giving students more choices in how they demonstrate their learning.
Okay.
Connecting assignments to real-world problems.
Uh-huh.
Maybe even making some assignments AI-assisted.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
What would an AI-assisted assignment look like?
Well, imagine you're teaching a literature class.
Okay.
And instead of having students write like a standard essay comparing two novels,
right.
you could challenge them to use Gen AI to analyze the texts
uh-huh.
and then create a podcast episode or a multimedia presentation.
So the focus shifts from just producing a written document
yeah.
to actually understanding and applying the concepts.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It takes advantage of the technology's strengths without undermining the learning objectives.
Exactly.
It's about using AI as a tool to enhance learning, not to replace it.
Okay, what about the third strategy?
Let's hear it.
Dr. Gallant talks about evaluating the process,
okay.
not just the product.
Right.
What does that mean in practice?
It means looking beyond the final paper or presentation.
Okay.
And paying attention to how students are actually engaging with the material.
So, like, what does that look like?
Are they asking thoughtful questions?
Uh-huh.
Are they making connections between different concepts?
Okay.
Are they struggling in certain areas?
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
So things like in-class discussions, brainstorming sessions, peer feedback, all of that becomes valuable data for assessing learning.
And it also allows you to provide more targeted and timely feedback.
Exactly.
Which is essential for helping students develop mastery.
She also mentions using tools that provide transparency into the writing process.
Like what?
Things like Google Docs, where you can see the students' revisions,
uh-huh.
or Perusall, which allows for collaborative annotation and discussion.
Yeah.
Those tools can be really helpful for giving students feedback at multiple stages of the writing process.
Okay.
And they also make it harder for them to simply copy and paste from an AI generator.
But it feels like there's a fine line there.
Yeah.
We don't want to create an environment where students feel like they're constantly being watched and judged, right?
You're right. It's about finding the right balance
yeah.
between guidance and autonomy.
And it's about being transparent with students.
Yeah.
Let them know why you're using these tools and how it benefits their learning.
Absolutely. Good communication is key.
And finally, Dr. Gallant talks about reconsidering grading structures. This is a big one.
If Gen AI can produce a passing grade on an assignment,
right,
it's probably time to rethink that assignment.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not challenging enough.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe the rubric needs to be adjusted.
To emphasize higher order thinking skills.
Exactly.
And she also suggests prioritizing formative feedback over summative grades whenever possible.
Okay.
It's about shifting the focus from just getting a good grade.
Right.
To actually learning and growing.
It's about the process. You right. know, it's funny, when you really break it down, a lot of these strategies are just good teaching practices, regardless of AI.
Right.
But Gen AI is kind of forcing us to re-examine our methods
right.
and ask ourselves, are we really preparing students for the world they're going to graduate into?
That's the question, isn't it?
It's like this technology is holding a mirror up to higher education
yeah.
and saying, okay, time to step up your game.
It's a challenge.
It is a challenge.
And I think that's ultimately a good thing.
I think so, too. It's an opportunity to mm-hmm. innovate, to experiment, and to create learning experiences that are more engaging, more meaningful, and more relevant than ever before.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
No, not at all.
There's a lot of potential here, right?
Immense of potential.
But I'm sure some instructors are feeling overwhelmed by all of this.
I can imagine.
It's a lot to process.
It is.
And it can feel really daunting to change your teaching practices, especially when you're already stretched thin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I get that it feels overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's a lot to process.
It is.
But one of Dr. Gallant's most important messages, I think, is that we don't have to figure this out all alone.
That's right.
There are so many resources available.
Yeah.
People who are already experimenting with Gen AI in their classes.
Uh-huh.
Sharing their successes and challenges and, you know, just kind of figuring it out together.
That's right. There's a whole community of educators out there who are passionate about this issue and they're eager to help.
Exactly.
So don't be afraid to reach out to colleagues, instructional designers, even connect with people on Twitter or LinkedIn.
Yeah. And Dr. Gallant mentions a bunch of practical resources in her presentation, too.
Oh, great.
Free tools for creating interactive assignments, templates for Gen AI policies, even examples of student work.
That's awesome.
So we'll definitely link to all of that in the show notes so you can check that out.
This is a journey we're all on together.
Yeah.
And I think we can learn a lot from each other.
Absolutely.
One of the most exciting things about this moment in education is that it's forcing us to break out of our silos and collaborate in new ways.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point.
I think so, too.
You know, it's funny. When I first started hearing about Gen AI,
yeah,
my gut reaction was fear.
I hear that.
Like, oh, no, this is going to make my job so much harder.
Right.
You know? But like digging into Dr. Gallant's presentation, I don't know, it's actually made me feel kind of hopeful.
I get that.
It's a shift in perspective, right?
Instead of seeing Gen AI as a threat.
Uh-huh.
What if we saw it as an opportunity
yeah.
to reimagine what education can be?
To make it more engaging, more relevant, more personalized.
Exactly.
And ultimately to better prepare students for a world where AI is going to be everywhere.
That's where I think the real magic lies.
Yeah.
Not in trying to fight the technology.
Right.
But in figuring out how to harness its power for good.
I love that.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive,
okay.
I want to leave you with a question to ponder.
Okay. Hit me.
Think about your own field of study or area of expertise.
Okay.
What learning outcomes could be reframed
uh-huh.
or enriched by embracing Gen AI.
Ooh.
How could you use this technology to create learning experiences that are truly transformative?
So many things, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's designing simulations that allow students to experiment in a risk-free environment.
Okay.
Or creating personalized learning pathways based on individual needs and interests.
Right.
Or maybe it's using AI to analyze student data and provide real-time feedback that helps them learn and grow.
The possibilities are pretty mind-blowing when you start thinking about it.
They really are. The future is wide open.
It is. So thanks for joining us on this deep dive into AI in higher education.
It was my pleasure.
We'll be back next week with a whole new topic to explore.
Can't wait.
Until then, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.